changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Today we're going to talk about how to have a great 2021, and I want to talk with you about paradigms. Back when I was in ministerial school, there was a constant kind of a laughing debate over the fact that if you were talking to someone about something, your answer, if you were being quizzed, would almost always be, well, it comes down to your consciousness. Now, consciousness is a term that we hear quite a bit. Conscious literally means awake. If you think about it, are you conscious or unconscious? So it means to what degree are you awake or are you asleep in those particular areas of your life? Now, I am committed, if you're willing to do the work, and I know a lot of you are because a lot of you have already told me that you have done this, I want to work with you to help you make sure that you have the best 2021 possible. And the way you do that is not by going into 2021 all ticked off and angry about everything that happened in 2020 and saying, I'm going to change it all. That's your ego. Your ego makes grand plans and then doesn't deliver on them. One of the most interesting things that I've discovered in this last 16 years with the complaint-free movement is that so many people think that the complaint-free challenge, going 21 days without complaining, is a great idea. And so many people think, oh my gosh, I could benefit from this. And they make that decision. I'm going to, starting tomorrow, I'm going to put on this rubber bracelet. Every time I catch myself complaining, I'm going to switch it to the other wrist until I go 21 days in a row. And what happens is when we make a big decision like, we get a big shot of dopamine in our bloodstream. Our bloodstream rewards us for making big, healthy decisions. I always like to, when I'm explaining this to audiences, imagine that your bloodstream's going. Your brain is shooting out dopamine into your body, into your blood system, making you feel really good. Now, what's interesting is, if this was really helpful from a psychological and heredity standpoint, it wouldn't be a big ah when we make the decision. It would be a big ah when we start working towards it. But that's when we lose our motivation. I once read something that said, the best thing about diets is that they're over in 3 days. And that's very much the way we are when we make a decision in our life. So let me recap real quick what it is I'm asking you to do. Number one, I want you to write a letter from 1 year in the future to your present self saying, 2021 was the best year of my life. Because that's the first thing I'm inviting you to do. And I know a number of you have told me you have. Michelle, Cynthia, a bunch of you have said that you've done this. Awesome. The second thing you need to do is pick one thing. If only one thing were to happen in the next 12 months, in other words, if you've always wanted to lose 10 pounds, boom. Or if you've always wanted to earn $1 million in a year, boom. Make that decision. Pick one thing, one core thing, that if you were to write, 2021 was the best year of my life because this and only this happened, period. That's the kind of awareness you need to have. Pick one thing. Then what you've got to realize is that the reason that it has never transpired for you is because what is called your paradigm. Consciousness and paradigm are basically the same thing. Your paradigms are created because your subconscious begins to create patterns when you're a child. When you're a child, your subconscious is wide open. There's no conscious mind. There's just the subconscious. And everything that you take in goes straight into that subconscious. Now, unfortunately, a lot of what we take in is the limitations and comments of our parents and family all around us. So that is why so many people tend to live like the people in their family. It's because of the paradigms. It's because of how things are seen. I remember one time in ministerial school, somebody went around and put 20 cents on each of our desks right before they did their speech. We're all supposed to do a sermon basically every few weeks for the rest of the class. It's a way of continuing learning to write and present. And so they put 20 cents on our desk, and she stood up and said, "What you've noticed is that I've given you a new pair of dimes." Was actually pretty cute, and I still remember it to this day. Your paradigms, let me give you some of my crazy paradigms. And these are true. These are absolutely crazy. All right. For me, for example, just a little bit ago, I had some paper here on my desk, and I've moved my trash can to the other side of the studio for a while I'm moving lights around and doing things. So I balled up this piece of paper, and as I went to throw it in the trash can, I said to myself, "I'm going to miss it." I always miss it. That is so true. A trash can be right next to me, and I'll drop it and it'll bounce off the lid and go outside the trash can. That's one of my weird paradigms. And that's an example of a paradigm. Every time I go to do throwing trash can, you know, and I used to play basketball as a kid, so I know how to, you know, line up a shot. But I always miss the trash can. And it was one of those things that I found for so long was irritating to me. And then I finally went, who gives a damn if I can't throw paper in the trash can? I ultimately get it in there anyway. And it may have something to do with the trifocals that I wear. The point is that that's one of my weird paradigms. Let me give you another one of mine, okay? And people who know me know this to be true. In most cases, I'll be late. In most cases, I'll be late. I have a good friend, Jeff Wicker, who's a morning announcer in Virginia. He does the morning show on a radio station there. And as long as I've known Jeff, Jeff and I used to work in radio in Charlotte at WBCY. Anyway, as long as I've known Jeff, he has had 15 MINS, short for minutes, on his license plate. You know why? Because Jeff's always 15 minutes late for everything. Back when I was selling radio advertising and I would sell ads on Jeff's show, I would invite Jeff to go and make appointments with me. I was also representing John Boy and Billy, so sometimes they would ride around with me and we'd go see clients. With Jeff, I would always tell him that if the client meeting was at 9:30, I would tell him 9:15 or 9 o'clock. That's his paradigm. So I want you to consider, I've just told you two of mine. I got a bunch more. I was writing them out yesterday. What are some of my paradigms? What always seems to happen in my life? You know, in sales, I used to know salespeople who would always get ahead in sales back when I was in sales. And then all of a sudden they would back it down. Your paradigms are like a thermostat. The way Bob Proctor puts it, I'm listening to this Thinking Into Results program with Bob Proctor right now. The way Bob Proctor puts it is that your mind is a thermostat. And we tend to live our lives as a thermometer. We're always judging where we are. Are we quite where we want to be? No, we're distant away. We're too cold. We're too hot. It's like that game when you're a kid. It's over there. Up, you're getting colder. You're getting warmer. Well, as long as we're just about just right, that's all we care about. So I'm, by the way, if you are multitasking right now, stop it. Stop looking at Facebook. I'm about to tell you something really profound, something you need to hear. That area of your life that you want to change, that one thing that you want to make different for you, the reason that it doesn't already exist for you is because of your paradigms. It's because of your paradigms. It's because of your consciousness. It's because of your belief system. I always talk about how I lost 100 pounds when I was in high school. My paradigm for years was to go on diet, binge, fail. Go on diet, binge, fail. I was always on diets, and yet I never lost weight. In fact, what I usually did was added an extra 5 or 10 after I went off the diet. That was my paradigm. How did I change my paradigm? It took years. Mark Twain said, "You don't throw a habit down the stairs, you coax it down the stairs one step at a time." For me, It was going to those regular Weight Watchers meetings with all the middle-aged ladies, even though I was a 19-year-old young man all the time, and listening to them talk and realize that the things I tell myself and the things they tell themselves are all just paradigms we have. And they were presenting a new paradigm. The new paradigm was you became conscious of the portions of the food you ate. You planned your meals in advance. All of these things that normal thin people do, but my paradigms were totally different. I realized that I used to say, "What sounds good?" when I went to a restaurant, because I'm a very auditory person. I know that sounds crazy. But I read a book that said the way that thin people process ordering at a restaurant is they look at the meal and they imagine eating a bite and how will it make them feel. Then they imagine eating the entire amount and how will it make them feel 4 to 5 hours later. Wow, totally different paradigm. So what we want to do is we want to change your paradigm in this one particular area. Remember your assignment? Write out. 2021 was the best year of my life. Write it out in the past tense. Because. Then write out everything that you would like to have transpire in this year to pull you forward. Second thing, choose one thing. Choose one thing that if only that thing happened, and this is key, if only one thing happened, you would still feel 2021 was the best year of my life. And then number three, realize that because you don't have it already, it's because of your paradigms. It's because of your belief system. So what do you do if your belief system tells you that every time you throw something in the trash, you're going to miss whatever, if it's important? You got to pick something that's important. I really couldn't give a darn. Pick something that's important to you, and then you've got to write out all of your negative beliefs around it. For example, having been divorced 3 times, I have some negative beliefs about relationships and about the longevity of relationships and about the harmony in relationships. And so what I did literally was wrote out all those beliefs that I had, the things that I had seen modeled by my parents, the jokes that I had heard. Take my wife, please. You know, a lot of the humor that I grew up with in the 60s that you'd see on The Tonight Show was anti-spousal, people talking negatively about their spouses. I remember Jackie Martling says, "I just got back from a pleasure trip. I dropped my wife off at the airport." So do you see how all of this is? All of this goes in and becomes a part of your overall paradigm with relationships. And that's how your relationships live out. You can sit down and decide, "I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this." But if what you bring is what you used to be, you're going to get what you used to be. So you write out all of your negatives, thoughts about relationships, and then you flip them. You take the negative and you literally write out the positive. Now, what Bob Proctor recommends, and something I'm going to do today, actually, is you burn the negative things. You write out all the stuff that you've done and you burn it. That is a common practice that's done in a lot of faiths. You write something out and you burn it. You release it. Fire is seen as transformative in almost every culture around the world. So you burn it. And then you begin to write out, well, after you've written out the opposites, you read those opposites. I believe that loving relationships are healthy and harmonious. I believe that I can get my needs met in relationships without becoming irritable or angry. I believe that a good loving relationship will last the rest of my life. Do you hear how all those things are? Those are the opposite of what I really have believed in the past. And then you've got to read those over and over and over again. You've got to just read it over and over again and say it over and over again. Proctor talks about the fact that there are 2 ways to get something into someone's subconscious once they're an adult. And that's through an emotional shock, like 9/11. And the other way to get it into someone's consciousness is to practice what's called space repetition, saying it over and over and over again. So now that you know that the only reason you don't have that one big thing I'm recommending you focus on for 2021 is because of your consciousness, your paradigm. There are people for whom that would be so easy, so natural, so normal. Their paradigm is that this works out. So consider talking to people like that, reading about people like that, meeting and cultivating people like that in your life so that you osmotically, through osmosis, take in what it is that they already consider to be normal. So, number one, 2021 was the best year of my life because pick one thing once you've written the letter. Three, realize you don't have it because you're existing paradigms and begin to change those paradigms. Whether you feel ready or not, write out all the negative beliefs that are holding you back, burn them. Write out the opposite before you burn them. Write out the opposite of each single one. Every single one, write it out, and you'll be surprised. Then begin to practice spaced repetition. Read it aloud in the present tense. I am. Put in the words, I am. I am great at throwing paper in the trash can. I am always 5 minutes early for every event. Now, your mind is not going to believe it. Your mind's going to rail against it. However, if you continue to repeat it in time, without your mind even seeming to go, okay, I get it. We'll be on time for everything. You'll automatically start showing up early. By the way, the reason I'm still late, never picked that as an option. Never picked that as a paradigm that was all that important to me to change. Working on it now. Working on it. Here we go. All right, let's check in and give everybody a chance to say hi and bye and anything you've learned or any questions that you have. I want to remind those members of our Complaint Free Life program. I have a live webinar for you today at 11 o'clock. I'm going to be speaking to you live about more stuff that'll make your life better. And this is for members of the Complaint Free Life group. If you're not a member, go to acomplaintfreeworld.org. You'll see the middle option there in the middle. Give it a try. Check it out. These are people who are serious about becoming complainiacs. Barbara Strickland says, good morning. There's Trish Demian. I think I'm going backwards. I know I am. Good morning, Ashley Day. Ed Wilmot is here. Barbara's from Georgia. Oh, yes, I know. Here we go. This is where I wanted to pick up. Day 365. One more to go. Excuse me, that's the thing about doing a live broadcast, says Ed. Hello again, says my good friend Cynthia. Good to see you, Cynthia. Good morning, says Michelle Doherty, always with a pleasant smile on her face. There's Jerome. Jerome says, good morning, all. Jerome says his letter is done. Dominic and Juanita says, snowy morning. Wednesday morning. Hello, Jumpstarters. Leah, my daughter, has snow in Kansas City. Jerome, did you get snow? And what about Mike? I don't see Mike here yet. Sounds awesome. Hi from Venice, Florida. Merchie, good to see you. Merchie, are you here for the first time? Don't recognize you. Glad to have you here. The way we get people here is to click share. Click share, click share, click share. Dr. Phil, I don't understand. Oops, Dr. Phil said, if you are late all the time, it means you don't want to go. Well, Dr. Phil, hooray. I agree with a lot he has to say. James Henderson, good morning. I've never met Dr. Phil. I've met Dr. Oz and I've been on Oprah, but I've never met Phil McGraw. Good morning, says my good friend James, who is the president of the Florida Speakers Association. By the way, if you've ever thought about becoming a professional speaker, Florida Speakers Association has a program to train novices to become professional speakers over time. They assign you to work with other people. I'm actually mentoring someone in the Caribbean right now. So if that's something you'd like to check out, reach out to the Florida Speakers Association. Funny, my dad used to say, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. And I tend to live by that. I think you mean live by that. The reason is exactly, your dad was always early. My dad was always late. What am I? Always late. By the way, I have worked on it. Not a lot, but I've worked on being on time. I really have. And what I find is that I scuttle myself. I upper limit myself. The other morning, I wanted to be early for a video that I was shooting. It was for a group of people. It wasn't a big deal. I could have been early or late. Didn't really matter. But I said, I'm absolutely going to be sitting there 3 minutes before. And I sat down and I was ready 3 minutes before. And then I looked at the screen and I went, why is everything blurry? And I realized I forgot my glasses. And I went looking for my glasses. And my glasses were in my briefcase. I knew this, but I couldn't find my briefcase. So time is going away. Time is going away. Now that I'm sufficiently late, I find my briefcase. My briefcase was inside my suitcase. Who does that? Only people that subconsciously want to make themselves late. Crystal Buxton says, changing the time doesn't work. They know when they have to be there. Telling them things start earlier, they are too smart for that. Well, actually, it used to work with my buddy Jeff Wicker. Listen to John Boy and Billy every day, hoping to hear the clank clank, man. Yeah, I used to work with John Boy and Billy. I remember one morning I was taking, I can say this now, I don't even think John smokes weed anymore, and it's legal here in Florida anyway. But I remember one time I was taking John and Bill for a client call and sitting in the back of my car smoking weed at night. This is 1990 something, back when that would have gotten you in big trouble, John Boy. Writing things out, so power offers a silent empowerment, says yes, says Cynthia. Jerome knows what I'm talking about, a burning bowl. That's when you take stuff that's no longer serving you. Michelle Doherty says, good message. For some reason, I'm not seeing Michelle's face. There it is. Hey, Natasha, good morning. Don't understand. Ingrid says, hi, friend Steven. What does that mean? Ingrid, good morning, everybody. Hi from Austria. This is one of those wonderful days. Do you realize we got people from Pakistan? We got people from Austria. We got people from the United Kingdom. All of us coming together to make our lives better, which collectively makes the world better, because then we treat people better. Jerome says, yes, we did. John Conlon says, day one, keep giving up, but I still keep restarting. John, there's no shame in day one. That's why people give up, because they realize how much they have to change. Just stay with it. Guten Morgen, says Michelle Doherty in German. That much I know. Barbara Tidwell Strickland says, always told if you're not first, you're last. There's a lot of conversation about being on time. Jerome says, yes, we did get a lot of snow. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. Tomorrow is going to be our last jumpstart of the year. Let me tell you what it is we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what I call why times seven. Why times seven? Learned this recently from Dean DeGrasio. It's truly powerful. And as we combine this with all the other things that we've been talking about, you're going to see that you have an amazing year. So really, what have I said so far? Write a letter. Take you 5 minutes. Number two, circle one thing on that letter that you want. Number three, realize that it's not yours already because you're not an energetic match for it. Write out all the things that you think about that particular area of your life and then write out the reverse. Begin to space the reverse so that you are repeating it regularly in your life, and over time, your subconscious will begin to believe it. Real quick, you want to know why your subconscious works with affirmations? Is this accessible afterwards? Absolutely, yes. Everything that we record is available later and will stay available for you. In fact, if you go to willbowen.com and sign up for the Jumpstarts, we will email you a link every single day. I want to leave you with this. I am a millionaire. I am a millionaire. I am a millionaire. This is an affirmation. Let's just say that's your affirmation. I am a millionaire. I am a millionaire. You say this over and over and over again. How does that work? Well, Tony Robbins made me realize that we control our minds with questions. And if you keep saying, I am a millionaire, then eventually your mind will say, okay, how can I become a millionaire? Or how am I a millionaire? In which case, you'll move in that direction. That's how affirmations work. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. Tomorrow's going to be, as I say, our last jumpstart of the day. If you're a member of the Complaint-Free Life Group, join us in that private group today for a webinar with me. I look forward to being with you and sharing with you an expansion of what we've been talking about and so much more. Hope you have a great day. Make it a great day, and I will see you tomorrow. Love you all.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high.